Many questions are asked to us and by us in the space of our lifetime. Some of those questions that are asked out of a concern. A concern about our souls, a concern about our well-being. Other questions that are asked out of an inquisitive nature in order to find out a little bit more. And then there are other questions that are asked and they're very searching. And they consider us just to ponder for a moment before an answer is given. And as we come to the Word of God, we see it littered with many questions throughout its pages. One of the great questions way back there in Genesis, when Adam and Eve broke the law of God and they disobeyed against His command, they ate the forbidden fruit. And as they were in the garden, God came to them. And God came to them with a question. He said to them over there in Genesis 3 and 9, "Where art thou?" We come over into the New Testament and we see many other questions as well. Think of that great question that the Philippian jailer asked, Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And here in Hebrews chapter 2 in the verse 3, I believe we've got one of the most solemn, sobering questions that is asked. This is a searching question, and one that demands our attention because this is a question full of truth. And as we come to this verse tonight, I want us to consider three great truths as we find them here in this question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Notice first of all with me here the great provision. Writer says, the end of that first line, so great salvation. You see, what is it tonight that God offers to us? Does He offer to us long life? Does He offer to us a life that's free from all cares and worries? Does He offer to us a life of fame? A life of riches? No, God offers to us tonight salvation. God offers to us tonight a way whereby we can be saved. And as we look at this verse again, we see salvation described in a very clear manner. Because look at how he describes salvation. It's so great. The writer here uses two further qualifying words in order to express, in order to get to the minds of the reader, just the true magnitude of salvation. This is not only salvation tonight. This is not only great salvation. But this is so great salvation. And these two further words here point to us and paint for us the intensity of that which is described salvation. The salvation is so great. And tonight we have to say it is beyond compare. And I want you tonight to grasp that. I want you tonight to grasp that this salvation is of great significance. Why is this salvation tonight so great? Well, it's great because of the person who provided salvation. You see, the means back to God, the way that God has opened for us back to Himself, it's not to be found in a church. It's not to be found in a denomination. And isn't that the old cry of the people, even as you meet them day by day and you speak to them about the things of God, and they say, "Well, I've got my church." And they think that's all they need. But this so great salvation tonight is not found in a church, it's not found in man's own good works. The salvation tonight is found alone in Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior of sinners. Paul, writing there over in Ephesians 1 and the verse 7, he says, in whom, and the connection there is made with the previous verse where it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in whom, that is, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus Christ was not some good man. Jesus Christ was not just some just man who healed many of their diseases and sought to do good. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that blessed second person of the Trinity who in the fullness of time came into this world to save sinners. And tonight the salvation of which we preach, the salvation which is expounded for us here in the Word of God, is found alone in him, because he has provided that salvation for us. He went to Calvary's cross, and there he gave his life in order to save your soul and mine from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ opened that way back to God from the dark paths of sin. He bridged that gap that there was between us and God because of sin. You remember John the Baptist, as he was ministering to the people of his day, and they were confused. They were unsure as to actually who John was. They believed that he was the Christ. They believed possibly that he was one of the prophets. They said, are you Elijah? Are you the one of whom you're preaching? John the Baptist, as he sees Christ coming, what does he do? He cries out, behold the Lamb of God. And he points men and women away from himself, and he points them to Christ. And he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that ought always to be the aim and the task of any preacher. Not to point man and woman to himself. Not to seek to promote himself or a church, but always to point men and women to Christ. My friend, tonight, you're in this meeting without the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know nothing of this so great salvation, then tonight I point you to Christ. I point you to him as the only Savior of sinners. Peter, as he was on trial for his faith, he cries out, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This salvation is so great not only because of the person that provided it, but because of the price that was paid to attain it. Lord Jesus Christ was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. He was without sin. Yea, he could not sin. Yet he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Christ walked up that lonely hill to Calvary. There he suffered agony at the hands of fellow man as they plucked out the hairs of his face, as they placed that crown of thorns upon his lovely brow. And as they took that spear and put it into his side, what awful punishment he had to bear for sin. But greater than that, greater than all the sufferings that he had to bear at the hands of fellow man, Christ had to pay an awful price at the hands of his heavenly Father. Jesus Christ became sin for us. And God the Father took the punishment for sin that was due to you and I, and there in those hours of darkness on Calvary, he bore away our sin. He paid the price for your sin and for mine. And he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was counted among the transgressors. He was cut off from God. Cut off from God in order to pay your sin and mine. Oh, today man thinks sin is a light thing. Today mankind commits sin with little thought, with little attention to what he's doing. But my friend, sin was such a stench in the nostrils of God that he had to demand a punishment and a price, and that was found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his finished work at Calvary. We don't have time tonight to turn over to Isaiah 53, but you turn over there to that great chapter even this night when you go home. Great prophetic chapter of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. What he had to pay. What he had to bear in order to pay our sin. There on the cross he cried out, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Thank God he cried out there as well, it is finished. Salvation is complete tonight. Because he paid that price, he met the punishment for sin that was due to us. And surely we can say it is so great. It's not only great salvation because of the person who provided it and for the price that he paid to attain it, but it's great because of the power that accompanies salvation. Because you see, tonight, salvation, gospel of Jesus Christ, can take your sin and mine. It can take wretched, vile sinners such as we tonight and turn us in and make us children of God. If you tonight are in this meeting without Christ, the power of the gospel tonight, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses away all sin. Those little sins, those big sins, can be all washed away in his precious blood. Today, man's looking for peace. Man's searching. Man wants something in order to transform his life, to turn his life around. Society offers a multitude of ways tonight to remedy the needs of the nation. You go and do good to others. Do restitution. Try to get you back on the right track. Rehabilitation. My friend, it's only the power of Jesus Christ and his gospel that can transform a life. Save the vilest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus a pardon receives. The salvation certainly is great because of the power and the price and the person of salvation. But I want you to notice a little further with me here the great problem. The great problem. God has provided for us so great a salvation, but yet there's a great problem highlighted in this verse. It's neglecting. It's the problem of neglecting this salvation. God offers salvation to you tonight. God has provided the way for your sins to be cleansed away. God has provided a way tonight for you to know peace with God. But what have you done with it? What have you done tonight with this salvation? you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, then you've neglected it. Oh, you haven't rejected it out of hand. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be so brazen to say, well, I don't want anything to do with that. But by your continual desire to live on in sin, then you have neglected this so great salvation. And time again, the invitation in the gospel has been given. And that invitation has been neglected. You think of that great parable that's recorded for us over there in Luke 14. There is the gospel feast there that is prepared, and the Lord goes out, or he sends out his people, and he says, go and compel them to come in, for all things are now ready. But what was the response? They all with one consent began to make excuse. They neglected the invitation. They neglected the invitation to be saved. Oh, they didn't reject it out of hand. But they said, no, I'm too busy. Too many things to do. You read that chapter, Luke 14, and you'll come to some very sobering words. Because as the message has come back and the invitation has been given and there's been no response, the Word of God says that those that were invited, those that neglected it, would never taste of the supper. They would never taste of the good things that God had provided. And my friend, tonight, you need to bear in mind that if you neglect this so great salvation, then there may never be another chance. There may never be another opportunity. You see, those men in Luke 14 in that parable, they believed another invitation would come. He says, well, we'll not do it today, but another day. But they never did get another invitation. And tonight, perhaps in this meeting, that's been your response. Week after week, as you have sat under the preaching of the Word of God, you said, no, not just now. Like Felix, you've said, when of a convenient season, then I'll call. My friend, you'll not dictate to God Almighty. You'll be saved in His time, and His time is now. He says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. A great problem that faces you tonight in your sin is that on hearing the gospel, hearing this so great salvation, you neglect it. Come a little further with me. Notice not only hear the great provision of this so great salvation, the great problem of neglecting it. Finally, notice with me tonight the great peril. It says in verse 3, how shall we escape? You neglect this so great salvation tonight. You say, I'm having nothing to do with God and your religion. Then how shall you be saved? We were learning tonight in the children's meeting about one of the great I Ams of the Lord Jesus Christ in John. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ tonight is the only way to heaven. And my friend, if you neglect Him tonight, you reject Him tonight, then how shall you escape that awful judgment for sin that's upon your soul? You see, if you're in this meeting without Christ, as you sit here in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, having neglected salvation on many, many occasions in the past. The Bible tells me the wrath of God is abiding upon your head. John says over there in chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." And sinner friend, tonight as you sit in this meeting without Christ, you're already condemned. It's as if you were sitting on the precipice of hell, and it's only by God's mercy that you are not lost, that you are not damned. There is only one means of escape from that condemnation, and it is through repentance and turning to God in salvation. You continue on tonight, and you go out of this meeting, you leave this meeting still in your sin. And you go out into God's great eternity. Then hell will be your portion forevermore. And there it will be too late. There will be no escape. You'll hear those awful words recorded for us over there in Matthew. "Depart from me, ye cursed. Depart from me, ye cursed." You'll go to that place where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. That awful place called hell, that place where the worm of conscience will prick you continually. And you'll remember every gospel service you ever sat under. You'll remember every gospel invitation that was given to you. But it'll be too late. No escape. No escape then. God has provided in His so great salvation the way back to God. He has provided that way for you to be saved. But if you neglect it, then there is no further remedy for sin. My friend, tonight, you sit in this meeting without Jesus Christ. This may be the last gospel meeting you may ever sit in. Yesterday we were in church in Lurgan, and the news came through just before we got into the meeting. One of the members of that church, a man just in his early 60s, out the day before, doing work in the garden as fit as any other man. His wife went up to him in the morning time. She got up early to get the dinner ready. And she went back up again to see where he was. And that man had passed into God's great eternity in his sleep. My friend, tonight, you've got to realize that there may never be another time of gospel opportunity for you. Yes, this mission is on for another 2 weeks, but not one of us knows what tomorrow will bring. And therefore tonight you need to be sure that you're saved and that you're ready. And don't neglect this so great salvation anymore, but come to Christ. Come and be saved. The words of that hymn that's in our hymn book of Lewis Hartsaw says, "I am coming, Lord, to Thee." Became an anthem hymn for one great evangelical church over in Washington. And every time the gospel meeting came to conclusion, the congregation sang that hymn. And on one occasion, one Sunday morning, They were singing that hymn together and the invitation was given. A man was just walking by the street. And he heard them singing that hymn. He'd never been in a meeting before, never been in a gospel service before. He sat or stood there for a moment and he listened, and God began to work in his heart. And he burst through the doors of that church and he went to the minister and he said, "I want to be saved. I want to know more about the things of God." And that day, that man came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that hymn that he heard, "I Hear Thy Welcome Voice," was the only thing he ever wanted to sing and ever wanted to speak about. He went home to tell his wife, and a few days later, he was leaving home. It was very cold, frosty, treacherous morning, footpaths, and the roads were bad. And his wife said her farewells to her husband, and she just watched him as he went down the footpath to his work. And as he went, he was singing the words of that hymn, "I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary." She shut the door, went back into the house again, started doing her tasks for the day. And about 15 minutes later, the knock came to the door. And two men stood at her door and gave her some terrible news that her husband, just as they had turned the corner, had taken a nasty fall on the ice, hit his head on the solid ice and was killed. The last words that ever came from that man's lip was, "I'm coming, Lord, to thee." Praise God, he had come to him in salvation. I wonder tonight, are you going to come? Are you going to come to Jesus Christ? Leave your burden of sin behind. Come to Jesus tonight. Come and accept his so great salvation before it is too late. Will you do it? Will you do it even now?